characteristic of the life of a Taoist follower, aficionado. Let's take, for example, the bowls that are used for tea in the Japanese tea ceremony, raku-ware, which are very primitive looking, very unobtrusive. They have the general feeling of autumn, of the color of autumn leaves. Glaze has been allowed to run. We get a kind of controlled accident in the manufacture of these rather rustic looking bowls and pots of various kinds. This is the meaning of the unbleached silk and the uncarved block. Americans today who collect driftwood and rocks have a feeling for this. And this introduces us to a very profound question. What is it that is so marvelous about rocks? About glaze that flows, but when we look at it, we know that it wasn't a mere mistake and it wasn't a mess. Why do photographers make pictures such as we see to the south of rocks? We're at Big Sur here now, looking south, and we see these mountains and rocks meeting the ocean. And hundreds of photographers have come and taken this picture. Why? It's a natural mess, you might say. No. It's a slag heap overflowing into the ocean. You know, a lot of weeds have grown up in it. We call them trees. But everybody looks at that and says, oh, what a marvelous sight. Or we look at the patterns in spray. Look in marble. Look at the grain in wood. What is so marvelous about it? Look at jade. Look at simply the way grass grows over the hillside. What is so marvelous? Nobody can explain. Nobody ever has been able to explain. But there is a Chinese word for this. It is li. And it means the order of nature. The character originally meant markings in jade, grain in wood, fiber in muscle. And that could be called, Li, could be called the principle of ordering implicit in Tao. Now, let's go back to the phrase Tao Fa Ziyan. The second word, fa, which means the principle of the Tao. I'm going to equate fa with li. Now, fa is the word the Chinese use to translate the Sanskrit dharma. And dharma is, say, the Buddha's doctrine is called the dharma. And therefore, it has a sense of method in it. But normally, Westerners translate it law. And this won't do. Because law implies the principle contrary to Wu Wei. Force, not forcing. Law is always forcing. Law enforcement. And you will not get order through law. You'll get disorder. For the more the laws are in evidence, as Lao Tzu said, the more thieves and robbers abound. So law simply will not do. To lay down the law always implies a militaristic principle. to get obedience by force. So law will not do for fa. If we break down the character for fa, we see it has two elements in it. One is the radical, which means water, and the other component means go. Water go. The way water goes. And the way water goes is equivalent to this other word, li, which means the pattern of nature. Now, water, notice it, as I said yesterday, it never makes an aesthetic mistake. Nobody could ever conceive of ugly water in its basic patterns. It's always marvelous. It always takes the line of least resistance. As Lao Tzu said, the Tao is like water, in that it always seeks the lowest level, which men detest, because they always want to be up. But water goes down, 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 down. And when it meets a dead end, it rises. See? Fills up the hole, and then finds a new way. And if you look at books about patterns in nature, there are several marvelous books of photographs, where you will see photographs from the air of water channels, which have exactly the same patterns as trees. The tree flows up, the river flows down. But it's the same pattern. Because it's all a performance of liquid. And I have a marvelous book which hasn't been translated into English. It's a French book called Forme et Force, showing incredible numbers of pictures of the basic patterns of nature in such a way that you can see that they are all based on the dynamics of flowing liquid. Fire follows these principles, air follows these principles, stone follows these principles because stone was once liquid, and human art eventually takes them up. And we see everything basically is this flow. Now you are also this. But what we are trying to do is to help you to feel that you're not so by compulsion, that you're not something being pushed around by the flowing process. The flowing process is intelligent in the sense that anybody looking at it sees it's beautiful. Going back to why we admire the forms of rocks and clouds. So, looking at a human being, we see that a human being is a marvel. And we are not, I think, sufficiently aware of how incredibly marvelous we are. I sometimes think, when I listen to people talking, I hear three blind mice being played on a Stradivarius. The relationship between what we think about and the marvelous organism that we are is simply ridiculous. When you even look at human eyes, the most beautiful jewels in the world, and we have a kind of yoga that some of us practice, which is eye-looking. People are very nervous about looking at each other in the eye and tend to turn away because that's our most sensitive point of contact. But if you sit in front of someone and really look into the eyes, it's looking into the depths of the universe. Marvelous. Even when the face says, "What, me?" So, let me repeat the point. It isn't that we are in some way subject to a force external to ourselves which is pushing us around, and as a result of which we are in a condition which we call mortality. We know we're all falling apart, and so do the trees in autumn. There is a Zen poem which comes from China. If you do not have faith, look at September, look at October, the yellow leaves falling to fill both mountain and river. We die, but we fall apart as the leaves fall, because the whole of this process is a very, very extraordinary falling apart, out of which life completely re-arises again and again from the manure of falling apart, from the compost. We regret this. We don't want to fall apart. But to the extent that we try to stop the process of falling apart from happening, we turn ourselves into plastic. So the surgeons will eventually replace every one of our organs with a plastic machine, which will do duty for it, until we are entirely recomposed and we'll have electronic brains. And they will be mimics of ourselves in the same way as, for example, after any one of us is dead, we can play tape recordings as if we were in the room. We will have a reproduction of ourselves. If you've got the sense of the new sense of the word reproduction, usually the old sense of the word reproduction was biological. Now the word is copy. TV tape, which will soon be available by laser beams, so that you will see, instead of the ordinary flat image on the television screen, a three-dimensional image standing out there. And you can walk right around it. Or they say, that's a great advance in TV technique. What next? There's again three blind mice on the Stradivarius. Then they'll say, why can't we go up and feel it? Well, I say, we can arrange that very well. All we have to do is to get these electronic elements to force up the air so that your hand will bounce off it. You go, you slap the girl on the bottom. But she won't notice. Because it's only an image. Right, we know how to do it. There'll be a TV camera on the viewer. And that will transmit whatever you do through a computer, which will arrange all the bits in the image to make an appropriate response. Now then, we say, well, that's pretty good. But what we would like to do is to reproduce so that we can understand it, not only the visual image, but the physical feelings of this being, so that we can plug in. Well, they say, that's easy enough. We'll plug you in, we'll put some electrodes around, and you'll feel exactly what the original transmitter of the message feels. You'll become it. That's the new reproduction. How do you know that you're not in that state already? I'm making this as a comment on what the Taoists sort of disapprove of, is monkeying around with nature. As if to say, with our conscious attention, scanning process that translates everything into words, we think we know what's going on, and therefore have the techniques and tools for improving it. And we think, over a very brief experiment of, we could say that Western technology has been in full operation since the middle of the 19th century, the Industrial Revolution. But we can take it farther back than that. We can say, within the last 3,000 years, human beings have developed a very peculiar technology. But compared with the lifespan of our species, this is a very tiny fragment of time. This experiment has produced sensational results. But we have no means of judging whether they're good or bad. That is to say, good or bad from the standpoint of our survival. No means at all. Suddenly this thing has gone, poof, huh? Everything changed. And we would do well to wonder a bit as to whether that is wisdom. We can't, of course, go back on it at the moment, because if we went back and were like the Chartists who wanted to destroy the industrial machinery of the British factories in the 19th century, and we were to destroy our technological equipment, well, we know very well that millions of people would starve. It just couldn't be done. But what bothers many of us is whether they won't starve anyway, simply through the increasing complexity of the system, which tends to reach a certain point of inefficiency, or by the law of diminishing returns. But never mind. If we do blow up, and all comes to the end, and civilization utterly collapses, it will be not at all unlike the fate of many colonies of insects that we've observed, how locusts, by their rapacity, can destroy themselves and green fly. It happens again and again and again. And we are only an incident in the overall picture of these transformations taking place. So the philosophy of Zhuangzi is take it easy and go with it. You are going to undergo transformation after transformation, death after death and life after life, but dig it. Because it can't be helped. It's inevitable. If you will examine to the very heart of your own consciousness, it's what you want to do. You know, you can just let things happen like that. Transformation after transformation, so that you'll never be bored. It is fascinating that an increasingly large number of people in the United States have become interested in the practice of what may generally be called meditation or contemplation, according to models that have been followed for centuries in Asia. Because we discover this, that our extremely powerful technologies are magnifiers or amplifiers. When we do what we will, what we think we desire with technology, we are, as it were, blowing up